Friday, everybody. Welcome back one last time this week. This is For the Numbers, presented by FTNFantasy.com. My name is Adam here. Friday, July the 26th, 2024. Exciting times. Training camp. It's absolutely a blast. And I don't care how small the actual piece of news is, but it's absolutely amazing to have consistent flowing football news every day on the timeline. We'll talk about some of that and whether it actually is news or something we can overlook or if it's actionable and it's something we should pay attention to on the podcast today. Also talk about some players that have been moving in my rankings since the start of training camp. A couple players moving up, a couple players moving down because that's how things work. Nothing too drastic. I think that's where you get into trouble, but I also think there's some stuff that we shouldn't be just completely overlooking and saying, oh, okay, it's just one little thing. So we'll talk about some things that we've seen so far in training camp throughout the first couple days. And all of a sudden, I mean, you look at the calendar, we have an actual football game next week. Hall of Fame game Thursday, I believe. So we're here. Also here is the FTN Fantasy Revamped Stats Hub. It launched a couple days ago on the site. It is amazing. I've been excited about the release of this for weeks now, months actually, and I'm so happy that everybody can now see what it looks like. Everything you can think of, right? And it's so easy to filter. Passing, rushing, receiving, defense. We also have it paired with DVOA, so you can actually find such detailed, specific stats, not just for, you know, for instance, say we're looking for a receiver's base stats, you know, receptions, targets, yards, etc., in pre-snap motion. Not only can you use that, but you can also look at it in terms of DVOA. So there's so much amazing stuff you can look at. Pre-snap motion for receivers, receivers usage and targets based on certain routes, receivers usage and targets against certain coverage schemes. Everything you can think of. The FTN Fantasy Stats Hub is live. Make sure you check it out. It's gotten some awesome reviews, and it'll be updated throughout the season. So, you know, that's my favorite part. Say, for instance, you have a team that struggles to defend post routes, right? Say it's week four. The Houston Texans are playing this team. They struggle against post routes. You see Nico Collins is among the league-leading wide receivers in targets and target share and stuff off post routes. All of a sudden, that player could be somebody you want to look at in DFS. So there's endless possibilities and scenarios to where you would use a stats hub. So check it out at FTNFantasy.com. Super exciting stuff. Before we get into some of the players that have been moving in the ranks, let's go over some news items that we've gotten over the past couple days. In Kansas City, we'll start. Kadarius Toney getting a lot of reps with the projected starters. We did see the report about him taking snaps out of the backfield. Denerick Prince also apparently operating as the second running back. I don't think this is much to be excited about, especially when you look at this team all of a sudden being more crowded at wide receiver with Rashi Rice last year, adding Marquise Brown and Xavier Worthy this year. So not too much there for me. The Chargers backfield is always something that's going to be interesting for us. Apparently, J.K. Dobbins has been hyped up and looking good, and they expect pretty, I don't want to say huge, but they expect something from J.K. Dobbins. But right now, Jarrett Patterson is running ahead of Kamani Vidal through the first couple days of Chargers camp. So Vidal, a popular sleeper, I still think there's a potential there. Gus Edwards hasn't really been practicing. So we have seen, you know, Dobbins getting most of the first team reps. But then it's been Patterson getting some first-team reps as well. So maybe in deep dynasty league, somebody to keep an eye on and not forget about Jarrett Patterson. He's been, you know, he had a stint in Washington where he was fantasy relevant down the stretch of that season. And staying with the Chargers, we'll talk about one of these players later. But the starting three wide receivers when they are in three wide sets has been Ladd McConkey, Josh Palmer, and DJ Chark. So not Quentin Johnston, who they've been talking up saying they expect him to take a step forward. But right now, the projected 11 personnel usage does not involve first round from last year selection, Quentin Johnston. The Denver backfield, we talked about that the other day on the podcast. Javonte Williams, could he be cut? He took pretty much all the snaps of the first team, so seems that was a little bit premature about him not making the team. Justin Fields in Pittsburgh took the majority of this, took the first team reps in practice the other day with Russell Wilson out with a small calf issue. So, it still seems like Russell Wilson is going to be the starting quarterback, but wasn't able to practice. So, as you saw, Fields took all the snaps with the first team. Cortland Sutton and Amari Cooper got not contract extensions, but essentially raises on their contracts. So, still not the extension, especially that Amari Cooper is looking for, but doesn't look like anything's going to happen with those two wide receivers in terms of playing elsewhere anytime soon. And staying in Cleveland, Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski said that he will call plays for the offense this season. Not a huge surprise. You know, they did lose offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt this offseason. They brought in Ken Dorsey, but it will be, once again, Kevin Stefanski calling plays for the Cleveland Browns. Let's get to some players that have been moving up in my rankings. And I have to start with, I tweeted yesterday, it's like my all-in team for fantasy. You know, quarterback, three wide receivers, two running backs, and a flex, and a tight end. One of the starting receivers on that team is Devonta Smith. Earlier this week, he was like wide receiver 18, wide receiver 19 for me. I moved him up to like wide receiver 14, I believe, the other day. And that's still with me expecting AJ Brown to be really good. I've just like, I'm all in, clearly. I just, everything we've seen, you know, there was, Devonta Smith was interviewed. He said he was watching a ton of CeeDee Lamb footage about, when Kellen Moore was in Dallas, about maybe how he's being used. I don't think it'll be to that extent. But maybe, who knows? Because Devonta Smith, I wrote about it a lot on the site. Like, he's already been good, right? You're already getting really solid wide receiver 2 production from him. He's been wide receiver 19 and wide receiver 9 over the past few seasons, despite ranking 28th and 14th in target share during that span. Last year, career best, 9.5 yards per target. He's still getting those deep targets, and he's been productive, but now we might see more of the scheme touches. And I was on SiriusXM Fantasy with Chris Meany the other day talking about Devonta Smith and just how much I think Kellen Moore's usage of pre-snap motion and movement can help Devonta Smith. We know the Eagles last year, they just didn't have any movement in their offense. Dead last in pre-snap motion rate at 22.8%. The Chargers, meanwhile, with Kellen Moore last year, they were at 55.7%, fifth highest rate in the NFL. Then according to FTN data, like, AJ Brown and Devonta Smith just didn't move, like, clearly. Devonta Smith, 3.2% pre-snap motion rate according to FTN data, one of the lowest rates in the NFL. You look at Smith and AJ Brown combined last year in terms of targets out of pre-snap motion, they combined for, I think, six targets between the two of them out of pre-snap motion. So, yes, Devonta Smith is still going to get looks deep down the field. But move him into the slot more. I think that's going to happen. For his career, Smith has been in the slot 23.2% of the time. Like, I don't think he's going to be like Keenan Allen type level. Like, Keenan Allen was like 30% pre-snap motion usage last year, and we know he's been primarily like 60%+ slot usage. I don't think we're getting to that level, but what if his slot rate doubles? His pre-snap motion rate, you know, goes up by like 10%. It's just going to help him out so much. We know the offense is going to be good. We know the player is good. I'm all in on Devonta Smith. All in. Moving over to Buffalo, Curtis Samuel had a really good day of practice on Thursday. Pretty much everybody I follow that covers the Bills was talking about how Curtis Samuel was not only really impressive, but just incredibly involved. Joe Brady lining him up out of the backfield, shifts, motions. And we kind of expected that when they signed him, right? He's always been a player that can do a lot of different things. He did a lot of different things in Joe Brady's offense in Carolina, where he had like 200+ rushing yards. And like, Keon Coleman, first day of practice, was mostly out on the perimeter. Then on Thursday, they kind of moved him into the slot more. You know, Shakir, like, the two players that I think are going to be the constants in this offense, in this passing game, are Kincaid and Samuel. So, and look, this is the time of the year where these teams are experimenting a bunch of things. So when you see Keon Coleman line up in the slot one day, then go back to the outside the next day, like, yeah, I mean, this is a player that they have to, A, develop, B, see what he can do. Because he's going to have to play a pretty key part in their offense. But Curtis Samuel is the one player that just, like, the personnel, like, unless they're in, like, heavy set at the goal line, like, the personnel is probably not going to matter for Curtis Samuel as much as it will for other players in this offense. So I actually moved him ahead of Keon Coleman. He is my highest-ranked Bills receiver. And maybe that could end up being just too reactionary, right? Just 2 days of practice. But it's not as much of, like, Curtis Samuel was really impressive and Josh Allen was throwing the ball to him a lot in practice. It's just the usage and how they're using him in so many different ways on top of already being familiar with Joe Brady's offense. And my concern with Shakir has always been, is he going to play when the Bills go into 12 personnel, which they probably will do 30% of the time this season? It seems like that's going to be probably not. And I know Joe Brady talked up Shakir. Look, these coaches are talking up all the players right now. Like, Joe Brady was talking up Mac Hollins, Shakir, Samuel, Keon. Like, it's going to happen. But for me, I'm buying what we're seeing and hearing from out of Curtis Samuel in this Bills offense. So I did move him up. He is now my highest ranked Buffalo Bills wide receiver. We talked about the Chargers wide receivers earlier about how their three wide sets consist of Josh Palmer, Ladd McConkey, and DJ Shark. Joshua Palmer has moved up for me quite a bit. I've gotten a lot more excited about him. I don't think it's out of the possibility that he finishes as a top wide receiver on this team. I know we're all excited about Ladd McConkey. They traded up for him in the second round. I get it. But kind of similar to Shakir in Buffalo, I talk about always how, like, Khalil Shakir is the only wide receiver on the Bills roster right now that's caught an actual pass from Josh Allen. I mean, that's very similar to Josh Palmer right now. I know Quentin Johnson played a little bit last year, obviously, and caught some passes, but, you know, DJ Shark, new player. Ladd McConkey, obviously new player. So, Josh Palmer, and he's been productive. Since 2021, Josh Palmer, he's averaging 11.9 PPR points per game in contests where they've been without either Mike Williams or Keenan Allen. That would have been good for, like, wide receiver 39 last year, wide receiver 38, 11.9 points per game. He's going as, like, wide receiver 53. Last year alone, he averaged over 12 PPR points per game with one of those two wide receivers out of the lineup. And I know the narrative around the Chargers is, you know, Jim Harbaugh's there, Greg Roman's there. They are going to establish the hell out of the run and run the football 30 times per game. And yeah, you would be right to say that Jim Harbaugh teams in the past and Greg Roman teams in the past have run the ball at some of the highest rates in the NFL during those seasons. It's 100% true. They also had the personnel to do so. I mean, you look back, Michigan, obviously, but going back to Harbaugh's time in San Fran, elite defense, elite run game. Greg Roman in Baltimore, elite defense, elite run game. Dating back to 2015, 2016 in Buffalo, elite defense, elite run game. I don't think the Chargers have that personnel with Gus Edwards, who's mostly been productive at the goal line in his career, J.K. Dobbins coming off the Achilles, a sixth-round rookie in Kimani Vidal, and Jarrett Patterson. And then the defense is like, it's fine. But playing the AFC, playing against Patrick Mahomes twice a year, like, there's going to be games that are down 17-3 in the second quarter. So to think Justin Herbert's going to throw the ball 450 times this year is kind of crazy. There's going to be games where he throws 35, 40 times. Josh Palmer's been productive, not just last year, like three seasons of data now. 2021, 2022, and 2023, where when one of those top receivers has been out, he's been productive. And obviously, Williams and Allen, gone. Gerald Everett, gone. Austin Eckler, gone. So, definitely think we should be paying more attention to Josh Palmer. You could like both, because it's not like Palmer and Ladd are both going as top 30 wide receivers. You can absolutely like both. But give me Josh Palmer right now going out to the top 50 wide receivers. He moved up quite a bit for me over the past couple days. Let's go to Pittsburgh. Tight end Pat Freiermuth. There was a report in practice on Thursday about how he was moving all over the formation. And early in the offseason, there was a report about him and Russell Wilson developing a nice rapport together. And yes, Arthur Smith was very disappointing last season for Atlanta. But he's been an above-average play caller where he's been. So he's back to that role calling plays. He's always been helpful for tight ends. He's a former tight ends coach. We saw, you know, Jonnu Smith kind of break out with Arthur Smith in Tennessee. Like, then he kind of had a, you know, Kyle Pitts was disappointed, but Jonnu Smith was pretty good. Like, if you combined Kyle Pitts and Jonnu Smith's stats last year, it's a pretty damn good fantasy tight end. It just was frustrating that it wasn't just Kyle Pitts. But Pat Freiermuth was bad last year, was a little bit banged up. And we're talking about how, like, George Pickens is going to smash this season because they don't have anybody else to catch passes. Deontay Johnson's gone. You know, Van Jefferson's not going to, you know, he's not going to earn a high target share. Roman Wilson's a rookie. Calvin Austin's kind of a gadget player. So, like, yes, George Pickens should get a lot of work. But, like, Pat Freiermuth, I mean, how many tight ends right now outside of the elite tight ends can legitimately be second on the team in targets? And not, like, a second where it's, like, okay, it's still middling target volume, but like a lot of targets as the second option. That's Pat Freiermuth's role right now. And again, like, he wasn't good last year, but we've seen him be good before. So for me, my goal going into a draft is not to get Pat Freiermuth as my starting tight end. Like, that's not my goal. But say the draft gets, you know, out of hand and I miss out on the tight end run. And then my fallback option, if I miss out on like one of the top 6-7 tight ends, is to draft Jake Ferguson. If I miss Jake Ferguson, I'll wait and take Pat Freiermuth and then take somebody else later in the draft. And I think I'll be fine with Pat Freiermuth. I really do. I think he'll flirt with low end tight end one production in this offense. It's an offense that in Arthur Smith's time as a play caller tends to favor the middle of the field, which is where Pat Freiermuth is definitely going to operate. So yeah, I know it's kind of a little bit scary to be invested in somebody in Arthur Smith's offense after what we saw with Bijan and London and Pitts last season, but it's not going to be the same. Like, it's not going to be the same. At least I hope not, or else we're in huge trouble. A couple more players moving up and down the rankings, but first, let's talk about Circa, sponsoring the FTN Fantasy Podcast again this season. Football season right around the corner. We have training camp and the largest pro football contests in Vegas have returned. Circa Survivor and Circa Millions are now up to a record $16 million in guaranteed prizes with two ways to win and no rake. With Circa Survivor, contestants select one team each week with no point spread. You last the longest to win it all with $10 million guaranteed. Circa Millions, on the other hand, you make five picks against the spread each week for your share of $6 million guaranteed through quarterly and full season payouts. And again, five picks against the spread sounds a lot easier than it is with all the craziness that happens each NFL, not just season, but each week seemingly of each NFL season. You can enter in Nevada or you can play from anywhere. To do so, visit circusports.com for details. This one was frustrating. I don't know how you can't move him down. And it's a player that I thought could be a breakout running back this season. And maybe he still can. It's not over. It's not even, you know, the first week of training camp is not even over yet. But he came into the NFL hurt. Was hurt the majority of last season. Already has a hamstring injury in camp. And now his head coach is saying, look, you got to stay on the field. It's not looking good for Kendre Miller right now. I hope he can get healthy. Clearly, Dennis Allen isn't happy about his lack of availability. Just based off that press conference, you can clearly tell. I want Kendra Miller to be healthy because I think he's a really good fit for Clint Kubiak's zone scheme. And the opportunities there, I mean, Alvin Kamara's efficiency fell off a cliff last season. But I am worried now that he's, again, struggling to stay on the field. Like, he needs to be this team's second running back. Love Jamal Williams. He's literally one of my favorite players in the NFL. But, like, it's not even a comparison who's the better player between him and Kendra Miller. Or at least it shouldn't be. But the thing that's always gotten Jamal Williams in the field, he is as reliable as it gets. Between availability, between knowing where to go, knowing his assignments, pass protection, everything. Knowing the playbook. Like, he is as good as it gets at being dependable and getting the job done. I want to see Kendra Miller in this zone scheme. I want to see him get 7-8 touches per game behind Alvin Kamara. And again, it's only July 26th, so ton of time left. But it's definitely a concern that once again, after having a mostly injured rookie season, and then coming into the NFL with injury concerns, now he has a hamstring. He's still so young, too. I mean, was he 22? So definitely don't give up on Kendra Miller, but when it's like when it's close between him and some other players at the position in the ranks, yeah, this is something, even though it's early in training camp, this is something I had to look at and say, look, I have to move him down below, you know, this player for this reason. But I hope he's able to stay healthy. Really, really do. Some other players that moved up and down. I mean, Jermaine Burton was really impressive in camp on Thursday. Obviously, like, Chase hasn't been practicing, so that's obviously part of it. But Burton's going to play. And he looked really good. Made, I think, a one-handed catch on the sideline. Had a really nice connection with Joe Burrow in practice. And, you know, Chase will be back, and Chase and T will be the top two wide receivers. But we know Zach Taylor has used three wide sets pretty much as high as anybody in football outside of Sean McVay. So I expect Jermaine Burton to be the starting wide receiver on this team when they're in three wide sets, which is going to be like 80%+ of the time. So I did move him up a little bit. Obviously, we'll see Ja'Marr Chase practice in some capacity soon. But moved him up a little bit based off what we've seen. A lot of it is the rookies because you want to see them in their really first sample. You do want to see them show signs and make plays, even though you don't want to completely just go crazy about it. You do want to see it happen. Michael Wilson, haven't really moved him up too much, but it is good to see him running ahead of Zay Jones. So obviously Marvin Harrison, Trey McBride should lead this team in targets, but looks like right now they still want Michael Wilson to be the third option. And when he was on the field last year, he was good. So definitely somebody in dynasty leagues that I would, like if he's on your bench, I would definitely hold on to him, see what happens. And then if you don't have him and you are interested, maybe toss an early third to somebody who isn't excited and see what you can do there. A lot more is going to change, but I think that's about it for now. I'm definitely excited, though. I don't care if, you know, training camp seems to be... Again, I think you need to find the balance, right? I think you need to find the balance of this isn't something where I'm drastically changing my stance on players and rankings, but also you need to make sure that you're not just saying it's nothing. Because there's definitely times where news is nothing. Definitely times where it's turns into something. Like, think about last year, like when Isaiah Pacheco was getting a lot of time with the first team Chiefs offense and all that. And if each week you said, okay, it's nothing, it's nothing, it's nothing, and then all of a sudden, yeah, it was something, clearly. So do not overlook the importance and the impact training camp can have. But I will say, as soon as the player you love rips off a 50-yard run in the first preseason game, all bets are off. This has been For the Numbers, presented by FTNFantasy.com. Check out the new Stats Hub. Check it out over the weekend. Let me know what you think. Really proud of it. The work behind the scenes by the team, cannot give them enough credit. They worked tirelessly to get that not only available, but to have all the data to make it as easy as it is to use. So shout out to everybody that worked so hard on that. And have fun with training camp. I'm trying to get to at least one training camp before the season starts. We'll update you there, depending on who it is. But that's my goal next week. We'll see if it happens. But appreciate everybody listening as always. Subscribe, rate, review, all that great stuff. Check out the content, FTNFantasy.com, the Stats Hub, the Almanac, Jeff Ratcliffe's game plan draft guide. I don't think there's a better trio between the Stats Hub, the Almanac, and the draft guide on top of the projections and rankings to get you more prepared for your fantasy football draft. So it is the hat trick for fantasy football preparation over at FTNFantasy.com. My name is Adam. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. Talk to you guys next time. Have a good one. Goodbye.